We are talking in our study on the distinctions of holiness. We're talking about salvation of the soul. And we had studied before, last week, we talked about being saved and what it means. We talked about saved from what? And we said we're saved from sin in this world, according to 1 Timothy 1:15, Matthew 1:21. Romans 6:17 to 18, and then save from a wicked and perverse generation, Acts 2:40, and save from the wrath of God to come in the future, in Romans 5:9. And then the other question is, can we be saved until the end? And we said, well, God wants everyone to be saved until the end, according to 1 Timothy 2:4. And it is necessary to persevere until the end, Matthew 10:22. He who endures to the end shall be saved. If we keep his commandments, we remain in his love, John 15:10. God is able to keep us from evil until the very end. Mere faith without active works is dead, we saw in James 2:14 to 26. But we must understand that good works do not produce salvation. Instead, salvation produces good works or a different lifestyle. That is, we live differently than one we used to, because the Bible does say, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And today we're going to continue our lesson on salvation. And we're going to focus this morning especially on salvation of the soul, knowing God. Because really, this salvation that we talk about is a relationship with God. That is, we come to know him and come to become his friend, and he becomes our friend, and we develop a relationship on a daily basis. We're going to look at several questions this morning. And before we get into the actual lesson, I'm going to ask the questions and see if we have some discussion we can talk about. First of all, what does it mean to know God? What does it mean to know God? Anyone have any thoughts on that? What does it mean to know God?
To know him is to walk in his commandments.
Walk in his commandments?
And you know what Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are they that you believe because you saw me, blessed are they that believe but have not seen.
Some sort of belief. Okay, trust. Yes?
I was comfortable with that lifestyle because everybody was doing it. I came from a different denomination. It was a habit, a ritual to attend church. Got married and had children. I knew I had to have them in church. But one day the Lord captured my attention, and I really knew that I needed God. We have to become aware that we lack something. Something's missing, you know, and then we start seeking him until we experience the new birth. Then we know God. But then the very careful walk starts. I don't know whether I was typical or not, but I lost God several times. Until I realized you don't just try God. You receive the Lord, and then you take very careful care of that relationship to keep him, because he can be shoved out so easily. He wants all of our attention.
What's the difference between knowing about God and knowing God personally?
I've known Claire Sam since I was a kid. But I've never really spent any time with him in conversation other than just in passing. I got to know him
Uh-huh. Knowing about him and knowing him. Uh-huh.
I think we need to know his character.
His character.
Yeah, to be able to understand his judgment.
Yes. He still wanted to know him, even though he had this relationship, he still was growing, knowing. All the way till the end. That's right. That's right. And you think that's the key, that we have this personal relationship on a daily basis with him, that we are continually knowing him, who he is, what he wants, how he cares, what he wants of us. Yeah. So what does it mean to say that God knows us? What does it mean to say that God knows us? We talk about how we know God, but what does it mean the other way around? God knows us. Uh-huh. Tell me, what does it mean? God knows us. Well, obviously, we know that God is omniscient, right? He knows everything, in and out. Even before we're born, he knows us in that sense. Right? God knows us. But what else does it mean if we have this personal relationship? I know God, and then God knows me? Yes? Uh-huh.
He raised that knife. He said, "Now,
I know that you will hear and listen." Yeah. Yeah.
There's a relationship there. That intimate knowing between each other.
And wasn't there? Isn't there a text? I think it's in Hebrews that Abraham was known as the friend of God.
Yes.
The friend of God. God called him his friend. Wow. In fact, Jesus himself, in talking to the disciples, he says, "You are my friends. I know you. I know my sheep, and they hear my voice. I know you." He had this personal relationship with us, too. It's reciprocal, isn't it? A relationship is reciprocal. We know him. He knows us. He knows whom to call. He knows us by name. What does it mean not to know God? What does it mean not to know God?
Since he's our only hope, if you don't know him, you don't have any hope.
No hope,
To know him not is to deny him.
To know him not is to deny him. So what does it mean to say that God does not know us? I never knew you. I never knew you. What does it mean? I mean, you know, God is omniscient, right? He knows everybody. But he's saying, "I never knew you." What does that mean?
He willingly does something to turn his back on us if we turn our back on him.
We didn't have a growing relationship. At least he didn't have a relationship with us. We didn't have a relationship with him. Something's missing there. I never knew you. In other words, in the sense that I don't acknowledge. you, for some reason, you're not part of my bunch. You're not part of mine. What does it mean to say that God does not know us? And then,
not part of his kingdom.
Not part of his kingdom. I mean, these people that Brother Miller was talking about, they're saying, Lord, in your name we did this, in your name we did this, in your name we did that. And just Jesus says, I never knew you. You might be doing things in my name, but hey, who are you? We didn't come to know each other here. He knows everything. Knowing in the relationship sense. Yeah, you're my friend. You've been my friend. I know you. I know who you are. You've been my friend. Okay, we're going to be looking at several of these questions and looking up some Bible verses. And I do have a little handout if you'd care to look at it. And maybe we can each one. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, I think we have enough for everybody. Even for Mark way over there, we have one. So please take one and pass the other ones around back there. Thank you. And then maybe Brother Cable could give one to Mark. Yes, sir, we'll let you ask a question, but that doesn't mean we're going to answer it. Okay. Yes, sir.
Church has rules. And it has a manual. To be a part of it, you have to bow and let up to these rules. My question is, how much of that does God pay attention to? So heaven noted that there's a memorial up there to him. And yet he did that from a heart. That, my question is that are things that we do in life that we do because we think they're important, how does God regulate that? How does he handle that? Is it significant that we continue to do that, you know? I come to church at 9:45 in the morning. You know, is it that important?
You're going to have to ask God that.
Okay.
I don't have an answer.
Okay.
We do things which we think are important, which in God's sight may or may not have the same importance, like coming to church at 9:45 in the morning. It may not mean the same thing. Maybe it just depends on the attitude of your heart, why you're doing things that you're doing. Not so much what you're doing, but the attitude of your heart. Yes?
God does read our hearts. The very thought and intent of our heart. And he knows right now whether we love God. Has to do not with proving to God, because God knows, but it has to do with proving to each other whether we're trying to.
I'm not sure if it's a matter of proving anything to anybody, really. It's probably more a matter of discipline, of just making yourself do things because it's a matter of discipline. The word disciple means one who lives by a disciplined life. A disciple. And if we are claiming to be disciples of Christ, we certainly do follow some sort of discipline, if you will, some sort of lifestyle that we do this, so we don't want to do that, because we read our Bible every day, we pray, because it's part of our disciplined life, if you will. Not necessarily because somebody said you got to do it. I mean, even if the church manual didn't say I got to be in church at 9:45 or I got to be praying every day, I would still want to do it because something in my heart says I want to do it. So it's a matter of the attitude of the heart, I think, more so than the rules that somebody may set. Because, you know, I keep thinking of the church we would visit once in a while down there in Yeda, in Tamaulipas, south of that area where all the drug dealing things are going on right now. We would go to that church and visit sometimes, and their service, their main service, was 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. And it was their only service. They did not have 9:45 Sunday school and all that stuff. They didn't have Sunday school, period. They just had a 2 o'clock service in the afternoon. That was it. Why is that? Well, no electricity. That makes sense. I mean, if you don't have electricity, you don't have church at night. And early in the morning, I mean, you got to finish up doing all your stuff at home, just like the pilgrims used to in America in the early morning. They used to have mid-afternoon services. So it's not necessarily when you do things or why. It's probably more of an attitude of the heart, you know. Because things in different cultures, different disciplines, they may follow a different routine. But I don't think it has to do with routines. I think it has to do with relationship, a relationship you're developing with God. More so than, you know, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. Let's look at some of these questions. Salvation of the soul, knowing God. We know that we have been saved through knowing God. The Bible teaches us, in fact, what it means to know God. It is to have eternal life or to be saved. Actually, that is the definition Jesus gives about what it means to know God, is to have this eternal life. Let's look at John 10:14. Let's see. If someone would like to volunteer to read it, and then if somebody, the same person would like to go up to the mic. So we need a volunteer who would like to read it and go up to the mic. It's John 10:14, and then also John 14:6-17. Please raise your hand if you'd like to do that one, and then I'll call on somebody else for the next verses. Cynthia, would you read those two passages? And then John 17:3. Okay, Brother Cable. And then 1 John 2:3-5 and 5:11-12. Somebody would raise your hand if you want to volunteer. Nobody? Okay, Brother Miller. And then 2 Timothy 2:19. Okay, Sister Miller would like to volunteer. So if you, those of you that volunteer for those scriptures, when it's your turn, would you go up to the mic if you don't mind? Because that way the discussion of the Sunday school and the Bible reading and all will be on the digital copy that we're doing online. Yes, let's read John 10:14 and then 14:16-17.
I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine.
I know my sheep and am known of mine. That means we know each other. John 14:6-17.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Thank you. This is, of course, the relationship that he's talking about, because they were saying, how do we know, you know, God? And how do we get to God? And Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a, and if we want to come to know God, it has to be through Jesus. One more verse, right?
Yeah,
Verse 17.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
You know him. That was a very, very important thing here. You already know him. Jesus said, I am the way. In other words, he's the bridge maker between God and man. If we want to know God, it has to be through Jesus. Through human to God, it's through Jesus, the God-man. He is the bridge maker, if you will. So, he is telling us it's this personal relationship with him. How about John 17:3?
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
This is eternal life, that they may know you. So when we say we are saved, we have eternal life, we are saying we know God. We have this personal relationship with him. He kind of equates this thing about salvation, being saved, having eternal life, with knowing God, because it's a personal relationship that we are developing with him. How about 1 John 2, 3 to 4, and then 5, 11 through 12? Who?
And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And which other one was it?
And then 1 John 5, 11 through 12.
And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Okay, thank you. So we need to have the Son to be able to have this life, eternal life. This kind of knowing God is by way of Jesus Christ, the Son. And then 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Thank you. The Lord knows who are his, those who belong to him, and everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. From sinfulness, from that kind of a lifestyle. So the Bible actually teaches us what it means to know God, to have eternal life, to be saved, to have this personal relationship. The definition that the dictionary gives us of to know is as follows. To have the idea or notion of a person or thing. For example, I can know about God. I have this notion. Yeah, there's this everlasting spirit out there somewhere. I could have this notion. But it was also to be in a relationship with someone. That's to know. And that's, in that sense, what we mean by knowing God, to have this personal relationship. And then, of course, to distinguish and recognize, that means we know, I recognize this as being mine or not mine, etc. Like when God says, I never knew you. I don't recognize you as one of mine. You're not in my group. So we are saved when we know God personally. That's why when we say that we know God, we also say that we have a personal relationship with him. We have a personal relationship. And I think this is important to emphasize, because many people, many, many, many people throughout the world, in our area and everywhere around the world, may say, oh, I know about God, or I know God, or something like that. But that knowledge is one of those that does not entail a relationship. That is, I just know, you know, God. For example, I grew up in the Catholic faith, and my parents taught me about God and this and that and church and everything. So I was, in a sense, a knower of God, but I did not have a personal relationship with him until I came to a saving knowledge of the Savior. And then I started developing, oh, God is real, and he is mine, and I am his. And so this was quite a change in my life when I had that personal relationship with God. And that's something we need to emphasize again, because many people may say they know God. Even people, let's say, and another persuasion that are not even Christian. Even Muslims may say this, I know God. Even Jewish people may say this. Even some Hindu people may say this, I know God, Brahma, whoever he may be. So this is a personal relationship that we develop with a person, person to person, me and my Savior and me. We are developing this relationship, knowing God. And then the next question is, what does it mean to know God? Well, Jesus Christ has declared or made known unto us the Father. Let's look at some of these verses. Would someone like to volunteer with John 1:18? Okay, Brother Carpenter. And how about 1 John 5:20? Part of a passage, I think, that we just read a minute ago. Well, not quite up to 5:20, but we read 11 and 12. 1 John 5:20. Okay, Sister Cable will read that. How about someone want to volunteer? John 14:17, Sister Miller. And then John 17:3. That's, oh, no, we just read that. And we already read 1 John 5:11 through 12. Let's see. 1 John 2:3 to 4, we already read those. So we just have a few other people. How about John 1:18? Jesus is the one that declares or makes known unto us the Father. So it is through Jesus that we can develop that personal relationship with God, through Jesus the Son. Let's look at 1 John 5:20.
Know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Wow, thank you. This is such a powerful verse, that we may know him and we are in him. He is the true God, eternal life, this personal relationship with God. If we know Christ and the Father, we also know the Holy Spirit, because we know God is one, the triune God. Let's look at John 14:17. We got that one.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you.
Thank you. So here we have, of course, the Spirit of truth. We know him. We know God the Son. We know God the Father. We know God the Holy Spirit. We know God, the triune God, because we have this personal relationship. Through the Son, we know the Father. We know the Spirit. He dwells in us. He knows us. We have this personal relationship. To know God means to have eternal life, as we saw in John 17:3 and 1 John 5:11 through 12. If we know God, we keep his commandments. We also saw 1 John 2:3 to 4. If we are saved, we know God personally. Really, that's the bottom line. It's a personal relationship that we are developing with him. We come to know him. So what does it mean to say that God knows us? Well, really, God knows those who trust in him. God knows our daily walk. And God knows if we really do love him as we say we do. Let's look at some of those verses. Someone would like to read Nahum 1:7. Nahum 1:7. Any volunteers? Okay, Cynthia. And 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy, Brother Carpenter. John 10:14, Brother Miller. Okay, Psalm 1:6, Sister Miller. Psalm 44:21. Did I see Mark's hand go up? Okay, thank you, Mark. Psalm 94:11. I think I saw Darren's hand go up too. Thank you, Darren. Do you want to read?
I don't.
Oh, you can borrow one? Okay. Psalm 94:11. Okay, I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I know young people have lots of strength and they can get up and walk to the mic and all that. I know that. How about 1 Corinthians 8:3? Somebody wanted to volunteer with that one. 1 Corinthians 8:3. Oh, Sister Carpenter. Okay, so let's look at that section. So what does it mean to say that God knows us? Let's look at Nahum 1:7.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him.
God knows those that trust in him. That's very important. God knows those that have placed their faith in him, those that trust him. 2 Timothy 2:19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Thank you. Again, that was this verse that Sister Miller had read for us. God knows who are his, who belong to him. John 10:14. Yeah, which one? 2:19?
Mm-hmm.
The foundation is sealed. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, indeed. He did. Indeed. He knew us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about, where were we? Just John 10:14? Yeah.
I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And am known of mine.
I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They know me. Okay, how about Psalm 1:6? God knows our daily walk.
For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Thank you. God knows the way of the righteous. Psalm 44:21. Who got that one? Okay.
Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart.
God knows our heart, the secrets of our hearts. And how about Psalm 94:11? Okay, God knows our thoughts. God knows our heart. Very good. Thank you. So, this is showing us that what does it mean that God knows us? He already knows our heart. He knows our secrets. He knows everything about us. He knows us even before we're born, as Sister Mary was saying. He knows us. He already knows that. How about 1 Corinthians 8:3? Who got that verse? 1 Corinthians 8:3.
But if any man love God, the same is known of him.
Thank you. If we love God, God knows us. He knows us. So what does it mean to say that God knows us? He knows those who trust in him. He knows our daily walk. He knows if we love him. If we are saved, God recognizes or acknowledges us as his children. He knows you are mine. You are my child. I have this relationship with you. You have this relationship with me. I don't know if we're going to get very much farther in the lesson, but we're going to be looking into what does it mean not to know God? What does it mean to say that God does not know us? And how does one attain the salvation of the soul? How do we come to know God personally? So because we're not going to be able to get much farther, and the bell already rang, we have only a couple of minutes left. Does anyone have a comment or question up to this point? Comment or question to this point? Yes. Yeah, Very much so. That's right. What does it mean? God knows us. Yeah. We have a personal, it's a reciprocal thing. I know him. Yes, it's easy to say, but does he know me? That means, do we have a reciprocal relationship? We're friends. We have this relationship with each other. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect this sheet back, because since we didn't get through most of it, we're going to go ahead and continue probably next time. And I will use that same sheet probably to finish up. So if you'll pass it forward, I will collect it, and then I will use it again for the next time. Did you have a comment, sir?
Question.
Yes.
A person gets saved. He leaves the altar feeling good about his salvation, but it doesn't last long.
You mean the feeling or the salvation?
that support. And he goes back out on the job, and he feels unsaved.
I'm not
what
sure. Well, we can't go on feeling. We have to go on faith, because feelings come and go. You know, I may feel accelerated in one moment and I may not the next time. So we can't really go on feeling. Faith, fact, and feeling. You know that little saying about faith, fact, and feeling? We go by fact first. He said he would save, and I trusted in him. So I have to lean on that, in that trust, not just that feeling that comes with the acceleration of it, etc. Did somebody else have a comment or question? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. It's his faithfulness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes. Yes. Okay, did I get all my sheets back? What's that? Oh, okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, we will continue the next time.